This is episode 282 of Jumble Think.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Jumble Think, where we interview dreamers, makers, innovators, and influencers all about their journey of turning their dreams and ideas into reality. Along the way, we're going to share some tips on how you can turn your own dreams and ideas into reality, too. On today's show, our guest is Charles Mahlbauer. More about Charles in a moment. Whether you're a new listener or a longtime fan, if you haven't subscribed to Jumble Think already, right now is the best time to do it. Head on over to your favorite place to listen to podcasts, search for Jumble Think, and click that magical subscribe button. You can find us on places like Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and now you can even find us on Pandora. So head on over and subscribe to the show. Now let's jump into today's conversation with our guest, Charles Mahlbauer. Hey there, welcome to JumbleThink. My name is Michael Woodward. I am your host. We have a great show lined up for you today. Before we get rolling, we want to thank our friends over at Penji for sponsoring today's show. Penji is your source for unlimited graphic design at a low monthly subscription rate. As a listener of JumbleThink, they're going to give you 15% off your first month. All you have to do is head on over to Penji, PENJI.co and use the code JUMBLE. Our guest is Charles Mahlbauer. He is the guy behind SalesShare. You can check them out at salesshare.net. He is and has been a CPA for 10 years and started this new company to help people understand the sales process. They are sales consultants and coaches. They really do specialize in the art of the discovery meeting, the discovery call. It's a super fun conversation. We're going to talk about that and much more. Let's dive into today's conversation with Charles Mahlbauer. Well, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
We're here at Podcast Row at Stand Up New York. It's always great to be here and be a part of this event. I hope you're enjoying it.
I am.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
We got a lot to talk about. You are a sales coach, but you haven't always been.
No.
We're going to talk about that journey and your journey into business and entrepreneurship and a bunch of other fun things along the way, I'm sure. First off, tell us a little bit about what you do.
I am a one-on-one discovery call sales coach for salespeople. I come from tech.
Okay.
So right now it has been targeted toward tech companies, and tech companies bring me in almost like a coach in residence, if you will, where they have their account executives sit down with me over an agreed upon period of time to do one-on-one coaching.
Mm-hmm.
I do discovery call specialization, which is the first scheduled call a salesperson has with a business, and to kind of dig into as many problems as they can possibly find with a prospect, so that a prospect will want to speak further. But those conversations also turn into, hey, Charles, I'm having a situation with negotiating or managing trials, or these different situations, maybe you can help me with those too, and we'll role play it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll point out things that they could be doing even better. And the ultimate goal is for them to not just close more deals, but to enhance the ticket size of their deals ultimately.
Yeah. I want to kick off this conversation with a very simple question.
Okay. Those are the hardest.
Yes. The simple is the complex, and the complex is very simple.
Mm.
You are a sales consultant.
Coach, more like.
Coach.
I'm a coach.
Oh, coach. Mm-hmm. All right. Aren't sales and marketing really the same? They're not. Tell us what the difference is.
Sure. Well, I'll say two things. One, I am not a marketing expert in any way, shape, or form. So my experience is only sales, and it's been pure sales. Mm-hmm. From a salesperson's perspective, our expectations from marketing is, hey, marketing, your job for us is to get people to come to us because they're curious about something that you've marketed toward them and say, this looks interesting.
Yeah.
I want to speak to a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
So from a salesperson's perspective, that is marketing's job, for them to get prospects to be curious enough to want to talk to me.
Yeah.
Now I take it from there and bring it home.
They're funnel to you.
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then from a sales perspective, what is your job?
My job is to generate revenue for our firm.
But how? Through closing the projects that come in through marketing, or
through speaking to, I'm assuming I'm working for a company, right? I'm speaking, you know, as an employee, if you will, for let's say I'm working for a firm.
Yeah.
My job is to generate revenue for my firm. How do I do that?
Yeah.
I connect with prospects who seem, before I speak with them, to be a potential fit for what we're doing.
A qualified lead.
You can call it that. Yeah. Qualified lead. When I speak to them the first time, I'm further qualifying it to determine if it's worth speaking further and providing them with enough information, I guess, or communicating to them with challenging enough questions or questions that are intelligent enough for them to say, this guy knows what he's talking about. He could probably help us. Let's talk again.
So, is it the job of a salesperson to close the project, close the sale, or to qualify to make sure that the person's a good fit? Or is it both?
It's both. However,
okay,
the close of a sale is really, it's not an action in and of itself.
Okay.
It's more of that's something that you should be expecting to happen as a result of the things that you've done up until then.
Yeah.
And it's not like an action independent of itself. It's because I've done A, B, and C with this prospect, had a good conversation, showed them how I can help them, worked out a potential price point. By nature, the close should happen on its own.
Okay. All right. So person comes in, you start the conversation, you're vetting them, they're vetting you. Mm-hmm. You continue down that journey.
Correct.
There are a couple things that are significant for every business when it comes to sales. Number one is increasing sales, potentially, if that's their growth model, but getting the sale and closing it, qualifying leads. But also beyond that, nurturing the person so that when the project's brought in or the relationship's built, that they're conditioned to know what to expect too, I would assume.
Exactly.
And I think that a lot of people approach sales from the place of we're coming in to close. And you see a lot of sales guys like that, like it's like hard close, hard close, hard close, close it. So what's your approach to sales?
Yeah, so you're half right. Ultimately, if a salesperson is being hired to work for a company, they're hired to close business.
Right.
Right? If they're not closing business by a certain time frame, they're not going to be there anymore.
It's right.
Black and white, that's how it works. It's not about... To say it's just about closing is half the picture. It's about closing the right people.
Okay.
Okay, because if you close the wrong person, your company that you are working for now has new problems because you sold someone that you really should not have sold for a lot of different reasons. You sold him because he's really not a fit when you convinced him somehow that it was. Or you sold them just because you dropped the price by half when you shouldn't have. And now that you've done that, the person is buying your service just like as a trial and on a whim and not really taking it seriously. You'll find in sales, and this should resonate with experienced salespeople, that those that are asking for pretty steep discounts are typically not good clients.
Right.
Yeah, because they're already causing you big problems.
Yeah.
And that's just like a red flag for all the problems that they're probably going to cause you once they sign up.
And if they're conditioned to think that, hey, I can get a deal this time, they're always going to be conditioned to like nickel and dime you through that process.
Yeah. And those aren't people you want to work with. And that's part of the beginning, right? We talk about the close as a natural, should be a natural progression. And you said it before I did. Experienced salespeople know that they have to vet the prospect.
Yeah.
As opposed to an inexperienced salesperson who would think, I got to get this prospect here, now there, right? But if you're experienced, you're like, no, we don't work with everybody.
Yeah.
And I have to ask these questions because it's not just important to us that we work with someone. It's important to you that you work with, this is a match.
Yeah.
Right? So that it's not just that we're generating revenue. This has to be recurring revenue.
Yeah.
Right? That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah. So let's talk about some nuts and bolts here a little bit. What are the different phases of sales? Let me back up. I'm going to ask that question again in a minute.
Okay.
But first off, sales is not something that's taught Really? And the world around us. You can learn it by reading. You can learn it by being mentored. There are ways to learn it, but it's not like a skill that a lot of people go like, hey, I'm going to go study sales
right.
at Harvard.
Exactly. I actually think Harvard now does have some sort of sales educational program, yeah. interestingly enough, but you are correct.
Yeah. So it's not something, and there are those people that are inherently good at understanding people, and then the process becomes kind of natural for them to do sales because it's just part of who they are. But most people, when they think of sales, they're like, ooh, car salesman.
I know.
Or IT guy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Like the cable guy, you know. And so I think I want to step back. Well, the guy, you know, you go, you're walking through the mall and he's like, hey, can I sell you some cable? You know?
That's true.
Or the phone guy. Hey, you want to switch providers? And you're like, no, I just want to get to Annie Ann's to have myself pretzel because that's what I'm here for.
Right, right. Leave me alone.
You leave me alone. And for many of us in business, especially entrepreneurs, we are the sales team in the early stages of our business because it's usually us. And then we might grow our team, and then we have some people that work for us, and maybe some of them are sales, maybe some of them are product fulfillment or whatever they are for your job. And I think sales gets that kind of dirty word kind of thing. No one will really, when they first set out, go, hey, you know, it'd be great. Let me be the sales guy. And yet there are people that are amazing at it and that yeah. seem to love it.
They love it, and they're people that live a very lucrative lifestyle from
yeah.
it. Exactly.
So talk to us about that and like the picture of what sales really looks like. I jumped the gun with the first question.
No, that's a good question. So two things. Number one, I find that when people do have a bad connotation with sales,
yeah.
it's always pretty much directly aligned with a B2C sale.
Okay.
Right? Car salesman, cable guy, even all the examples that you mentioned, all B2C, yeah. life insurance, it's all B2C. So unfortunately, sales has a bad rap from B2C.
Yeah.
Okay? B2B is a very different ballgame.
Yeah.
If I'm calling B2B, I have to convince a decision maker.
Yeah.
If I want to convince a decision maker, I better be intelligent enough
yeah.
and have an intelligent conversation.
Yeah.
And act professionally.
Yeah.
And not push things down their throat. Otherwise, it's going to say, send me, you know, hang up the phone.
Yeah.
So a very different ballgame, B2B versus B2C. B2C ruins the rap. Of sales, but when you step in the B2B world, it's a very sophisticated, it should be, there are exceptions to every rule, but it's a very sophisticated way of selling.
Yeah.
Where you, the prospect, are expecting me, the salesperson, to know about your business well enough where you can say, oh, Charles, I respect Charles. I'm gonna talk
yeah.
to him more.
Yeah. Talk to us through the process of a good sales process.
A good sales process. Okay. Well, assuming, let's skip over the little stuff. Assuming you've, let's say you're a founder of a firm that I would like to talk to and eventually, you know, see if we're a fit to sell into. And you agree to have a conversation with me. Let's say I emailed you or I cold called you. Right? Those are very specific skill sets.
Yeah.
Cold calling is its own skill set.
Yeah.
Actually, if you look at Gong.io, Gong.io is they're a company that records sales calls, so you can and shows analytics and stuff like that. They have a great sales blog that shows like what works and what doesn't work on cold calls, etc.
Interesting.
So, assuming once you agree to a call with me, you say, Charles, I'm going to have a call with you. Great. That's what we call in sales for us a discovery call.
Yeah.
And when we hop on the phone. Say, hey, Michael, it's Charles calling from ABC Company. This time still work for you? Yes, time still works for me. Great, do you have a hard stop in 30 minutes from now? So I'll make sure you have time. No, I don't have time, right? I have to leave in 5 minutes. You know, maybe we should schedule this another time.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say you do have time. Say, great. Then we start the discovery call from my perspective. I have a certain framework where I know the questions I really want to ask. And I know ultimately where I want you to go. It's not not in a manipulative way at all.
But you're not just asking randomness.
Right.
You're leading them on a journey.
I have a reason for my questions.
Yeah, Chris. It's intentional.
It's of course intentional. And I express that intention at the very beginning of the call so that your resistance is very, very low. Right? So at the beginning of the call, any experienced salesperson would typically know to do the following. And then as I say, great. So, Michael, just to give you some context, the purpose of this call is for me to give you some context, give you some insight around the problems that our clients, similar to yours, have expressed to us, share those with you, give you as much information as possible about what we're doing and see how we could potentially help. If we both see value from this conversation, the next steps would be to have another call and show you, give you some more detail. And if either one of us feels that this really is really not relevant or shouldn't, really not a potential fit, then we'll just end the call and say goodbye. Yeah. Does that work for you?
Yeah.
Right? And then you say, yeah. Right? So I'm setting the expectations that it's okay if we don't work together. And I'm also setting the expectations that I'm going to ask you some questions. Be prepared for me to have a conversation in order to like hash things out. Because if it works out, that's cool. If it doesn't work out, that's also cool. And on top of that, I'll say, and by the way, Michael, I may be asking some like maybe challenging or difficult questions that maybe most people are not asking you, or maybe questions that you're not used to being asked. And I hope that, is that okay? Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. So I'm setting the expectations at the beginning so that you are more open to having a conversation with me, and that you're more open, most importantly, to share the problems that you have with me without feeling threatened by me.
Yeah, and I think, in my opinion, a lot of sales is, and it's missed by a lot of people who do sales, is really being able to identify their pain and then say, we can solve that problem. Because people want that problem. And instead, I see a lot of salespeople come in and go, here's my product, here's my service, this is what we do, buy our product, buy my service.
Yeah, yeah, no one cares.
No one cares.
No, what they care about, so I've developed a 10-step discovery call framework. It's not written in stone. It could be, it's nimble for the way each person sells. But when someone asks you, Michael, what does your company do? You say, listen, our clients come to us because they feel like they have any one of the following five problems with their research process or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. What resonates with you? Now we're already talking about problems, right? Mm-hmm. You find in life that people actually enjoy talking about problems that they have and take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Like when you talk to your friend about, something good, or how was your vacation? Oh, it was great. That description will be shorter than, what happened, what went wrong.
Everyone wants to complain about that.
I know. Everybody loves to complain.
It's the water cooler talk conversation.
I know. So get them to complain. Get them to start complaining.
Yeah. And they want to feel heard, and they want to know somebody's listening.
Yeah. 100%. And someone's listening when you tell them something that's going wrong, and then they're listening. They're like, oh, wait.
Yeah. We're going to take a break right here in a moment. We're going to be back with Charles to continue the conversation all around sales and what he's doing. We'll be right back. Today's show is sponsored by our friends over at Penji. Penji is your source for unlimited graphic design at a low monthly rate. It's your monthly subscription to graphic design you want. Here's how it works. Once you sign up, you get access to a customer platform where you can create and submit design projects. You tell the Penji team what you need created. Maybe a logo, a flyer, a new layout for your website. Whatever you can really imagine. You tell them about the colors you want to use, the content that needs to be in the design, and any other special details you need. Then their designers get to work creating a killer design for you. Then they send back the design, and if it's perfect, the project's all done, you get what you need, and the design is finished. But if it isn't, they get back to work creating revisions until you have exactly what you want and need. So whether you are a small business, a big corporation, a startup, or even a marketing team, they can help you. And as a listener of JumbleThink, they're going to do something really cool. They're going to give you 15% off your first month. All you have to do is head on over to penji.co, enter that code Jumble, and get started on the perfect designs for you and your team. That's penji.co. Use that code Jumble, get 15% off, and start getting the design you need and want. Now let's jump back into today's conversation with our guest, Charles Malbauer. We're back with Charles. All right. I'm going to ask a pretty massive question here. It's going to shake the world, change the world. How can people find and connect with you?
How can they connect with me?
Yeah, how can they find and
connect
with you?
It will change the world.
It will. Their world, your world, world around you.
They connect me in one of three ways.
Okay.
Yeah. My website is salesshare.net, salesshare.net. You can email me at charles@salesshare.net, or you can find me on LinkedIn, Charles Muehlbauer, Muehlbauer. Connect with me. Let me know that you heard this podcast, and happy to chat with you.
We're going to do something really special for our listeners and for Charles. If you're listening right now and you want to connect with him, we've put the links in the episode notes, so it's super easy to find it.
Oh, wow.
You don't even have to remember it. You can just go down to wherever it is.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
I want to jump back into the conversation about sales.
Okay.
Because it is an area that I think that there's a lot of misconception about, especially like, and I never thought about that, a whole concept of B2C versus B2B and how that really shapes our understanding of sales and what sales looks like. Because in my mind, when I hear sales, I think the slimy sales guy.
I know.
And you know, that's just not what it is. I think that's pretty profound. That's a good takeaway.
And by
me.
The way, Michael, you have great car salesmen who are listen, you have good at any supermarket you go to, you're gonna have the good apples and the bad apples.
Yeah,
not Trader Joe's, but you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just always gonna be there, and you have to accept it. You're gonna have the good doctors, the bad doctors, the good accountants, the bad accountants, the good lawyers, the bad. It's just gonna happen everywhere. For some reason in sales, it overrides what it should, more than it should be.
Yeah, and we had a great experience with buying our last car at Wessels in Dillsburg. We should get them to sponsor
what kind of
for
car
that.
Did you get?
We got a Honda Pilot.
What color?
It's like a slate-ish charcoal gray.
Cool, you like it?
I do.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Our salesman was really good. He was awesome.
What was good about him?
He made sure that we had everything that we needed in the timeline that he said and provided and was in contact with us when he said, and not like overly bearing or anything like that.
He did what he said he was going to do.
Yeah. And he made it so that we never felt like we were being pushed into a deal.
It's so amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're back to corporate sales now more than anything else. You know, for me, it's really good to hear that there are processes that can help guide us. I think a lot of people, I referenced this earlier, there's not a real good place to go and say, hey, I want to learn sales and be like, I'm going to go get my BA in sales. And it just doesn't happen. And to hear that you're putting these resources, these guides together and is really powerful. Sales to me is really boiled down to one thing, effectively cultivating relationship. You're selling stuff and there's a lot of elements there, but really you're cultivating that relationship and that's going to cement there. So a sale sometimes happens right away. The person's ready to buy, they're a hot lead, they need what you have, they love your price point, everything works out, stars align, and all of a sudden they're like, phone call number one, sign me up right now. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times that's not the journey. So talk to us about effectively cultivating the relationship.
Sure. So,
is that a bad question? I mean,
No, it's actually a good question. I would say the following. It's not about having a good relationship as much as it is having good rapport.
Okay.
There's a difference.
So what's that difference? Because that seems kind of gray.
It is gray.
Okay.
Well, let's say most things in life are gray.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like my Honda Pilot.
Zine, you like it.
I do.
Yeah, it's great. My goal as a salesperson is not to develop a strong relationship with you.
Oh, okay.
No, my goal is to be professional.
Okay.
To have an intelligent conversation where I am communicating to you that I know a lot about your business, enough for you to want to talk to me.
Yeah.
And also for me to challenge how you've been thinking about the way you've been running things and determine if that resonates with you enough to want to talk further with me.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's some joking around and some humor, develop good rapport in that respect. But what I really want from you ultimately is for you to respect me.
Okay.
You liking me is much less important than you respecting me.
So does liking get in the way of closing deals?
Liking too much does get in the way. In other words, if a salesperson has a really big need for you to like them,
yeah,
that definitely can get in the way of their sales.
So, you know, for me, there's a slogan that we hear all the time in influencer space, that our job is to make people know, like, and trust us.
Okay.
And that's the process of converting people into whatever it is we want. Maybe a listener, maybe a client, maybe a customer, and that those are the foundations. So liking versus respecting is, there's a delineation.
They're not mutually exclusive.
Right.
But my ultimate goal, it comes down to a need for approval is kind of what I want to frame.
So you're not looking for approval.
No.
And that's what a lot of people would say is like, I need this person to approve me. And by doing that, they'll like me.
That is correct. Right.
So it's a place of you needing something, and you really aren't coming in from the place of I need something when you're trying to do the sales.
That is correct. You want to come from a place of no need for approval. That doesn't mean you should be disrespectful and rude and not nice.
Yeah. Although there are those sales guys, and some of them do really well. I don't know how, but
yeah,
they do.
Yeah, some of them do. Yeah. Some of them do. That's true.
Yeah.
There are always outliers.
Yeah.
There are always outliers. But yeah, to have very little need, or if not no need for approval from the other person on the other line, is super important.
So how do you balance that through the process? Because you come in and you want people to respect you, and that line becomes gray. Very easy of like versus respect. How do you know that you're doing it well in that process?
Well, I think once they respect you, they'll start liking you.
Okay.
Right? They first have to respect you before they like you.
Okay.
If I were to give it a hierarchy of you know, order, if you will, respect comes first. And then once you have their respect, they'll start liking you just because of that. You usually like the people you respect. Usually.
Yeah.
There are people that you respect that you don't like.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah.
Works both ways.
Yeah.
But I think the way to balance it is to be transparent about why we're talking.
Yeah.
Right? When you're a salesperson, you always want to communicate to the other person why we're talking, and you also want the prospect to tell you why are we talking. You always want to know why are you still on the phone.
You want to make sure you're both speaking the same language, that you're on the same page.
Yeah.
I want to pivot here a little bit and talk about, we talked a little bit about the process, and you shared some insights there that were really, really good. What is the life cycle of a sales process? Because, and I know that that's going to be different from business to business, and what you're selling and how that process goes. A membership to Salesforce might be an easier sale for a salesperson than a membership in a $40,000 coaching project.
Right.
You know,
that's very true.
Yeah. It's a different sales cycle from the length and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to say, hey, what's the right duration, but how can somebody figure out what's right for them in that process?
In terms of the life cycle of a sale?
Yeah. Not necessarily like first contact to like how long's this person going to be a client, you know, not that, but like from first contact to close deal, like how should you figure out what your sweet spot is, and how, because that changes the pace in which you contact and everything like that.
Mm-hmm, that's true. Well, typically the way it works is if you are selling price points, if your sales price points are typically between zero and
if you're doing zero, right?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like $1 or whatever. If they're very low, up to, I don't know, I'm just making this up, I don't have data on this, but if they're typically up to $30,000 price points, those can take 30 days.
Yeah.
Right? The larger the price point, there's a direct correlation between price points and length of sales cycle. The more expensive something is, the longer it's going to take someone to buy it, the more conversations you're going to have, the more teams you're going to have conversations with, the more complex the sale is. But when you're having more of a transactional sale where it's $30,000, it could take anywhere from 30 days to 3 months, right, for someone to, once you start having a conversation, to once they close on it, based on a lot of different variables. So like even Salesforce, like you mentioned, they have account executives that are, you know, making $1 million a year,
yeah,
but they're selling fewer items than the guys on the lower end, but those items that they're selling are much more expensive, and they take longer.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time, so we're going to wrap up this segment.
Okay.
And then we're going to pivot into our next segment, which is rapid fire questions. We're going to be right back with Charles to talk more, well, about rapid fire questions.
Okay.
We are back with Charles. Charles, all right. Are you ready for rapid fire questions?
No, I am not at all.
All right. What if I slid them down to like a 5 mile per hour speed limit?
I am not ready. Okay. So let's go.
All right. What is one thing you wish you would have known when you first started out?
In sales?
And whatever you want to answer that for.
What's one thing I wish I would have known? That most people are going to say no.
What is one book you recommend that every entrepreneur or dreamer should read?
Question-based selling.
Okay. What is one trend you're currently excited about?
What one trend?
Yeah.
The rise of sales coaching, even though I'm biased.
If you were to attribute your success to one trait, what trait would that be?
Listening to what other people have to say.
All right. Cool. What is something that inspires you?
People who talk about their failures.
I love that.
It's true.
I love that. That's good.
It's true.
It's good. And our final rapid fire question, what is one dream you're still wanting to fulfill in your own life?
To, honestly, to help other people succeed instead of just myself.
Okay.
Yeah. My whole life, I've just been focused on me succeeding. Mm. When I teach somebody something and I see them succeed, it's really cool.
Yeah.
And it's really a good feeling.
Change of motivation.
Yeah. It's more selfless. It's really cool. That's the ultimate goal.
As we wrap up today's show, what's the final thought you have for us today?
Final thought?
You get a final thought.
Oh my gosh. Final thought is be comfortable with unpredictability.
Love that. Charles, thank you so much for taking time out, being here at Podcast Row and answering my ridiculously ignorant questions
along
the way.
Yes, rapid fire questions, but the answers were very slow.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
In a moment, we'll be back to wrap up today's conversation.
Placez votre électrophone à portée de votre main. Levez seulement le bras pour mettre l'aiguille sur le disque. Mettez le contact, reposez votre bras et attendez.
It has been a lot of fun to have Charles on the show with us today. I hope you enjoyed the conversation we had with him at Podcast Row, hosted by Stand Up New York on the Upper West Side of New York City. It was a lot of fun to record at that event, and we're going to have a couple more episodes from that. I wanted to give you just one little takeaway from today's show. Often we are, especially in business, we are so focused on closing the deal that we don't always take the time to qualify our leads. We don't take time to qualify our customers to make sure that we're serving the right people, that we're reaching the right people, that we are going to give them what they want, what they need. We, as business owners, as entrepreneurs, often think about ourselves. What's this going to do for my bottom line? How's this going to increase my revenue? And we really do want to help people most of the time. But sometimes in that mix of survival, especially early on, we forget that we are serving people. We are serving these customers. And to do that, we have to qualify the right customers. And that's my big takeaway, that we need to be more intentional about reaching the right people, qualifying the right people, discovering the right fit for us and for our customers so that we're offering them exactly what they need, serving them well, serving them with compassion and love. I've said this before on the show, but one of my qualifiers for if I've done my job well is that I love my customers well. And if I'm not loving them, then there's a couple reasons I might not. They may be jerks, which is possible. They may have had a project that was not exactly what I expected, which is possible. But often it's about that I made sacrifices that I knew I shouldn't have early on in the process of that discovery to get the project. And in that, I compromised the relationship because Now I wasn't trying to serve them to the best of their need. I was trying to serve them to the best of the scope of the project. And if that was a moment where I could have been honest early on, I was taking on maybe a project that wasn't a good fit for us, trying to make it work, trying to figure out how to fit their budgets into the solutions we're building. And in doing so, we didn't really build the right things for the right people sometimes. And I could always quantify that by the fact that I was discontent in the project. I was frustrated with the project. I didn't love our customers well. I want to encourage you, especially if you're an entrepreneur listening to this, qualifying that customer, having the right discovery process, having the right process to make sure that you are serving the right people is going to go a long way for making you happier in the process of building your customer base. So you have to take the time to do that discovery well. And I love that that's what this conversation was all about today, that sales, when done right, connects two people that are both benefited. It's not a one-sided exchange, but both people have an incredible outcome from that experience. And that's what sales is about, is making sure you're qualifying the right people. That was one of my biggest takeaways from today's show. There's a lot more about the process. I think I learned a lot about that through today's conversation. I'd love to hear what you think. I'd love to know what you thought of this episode. So head on over to your social media channels. You can find the post about today's show. Leave us a comment. I'd love to hear what you thought. You can drop me an email, hello@jumblethink.com. And let's continue this conversation, especially those entrepreneurs listening, and there's a lot of you. We need to learn from each other. We can learn from people like Charles. We can learn how we can do better by really taking the expertise of others and applying it to where we are weak. So that's what I want to say to you today as we wrap up today's show. Here's something else, though, completely off topic, I want to leave you with. We got season 4 coming. We've been 3 years now into the show in preparation and building and interviewing. We are getting ready for season 4. It's coming super quick at you. We're going to have more announcements with that. We have crazy cool guests lined up. And if you haven't already, you need to head on over to jumblethink.com, sign up for our newsletter, because you will not want to miss any of these upcoming shows in season 4. We are taking the time to do the work to get the best guests to serve you. All around one topic, finding what you're created to do, having big ideas and dreams, and taking that created purpose and seeing your dreams and ideas become a reality. That is our passion. And we're getting the best guests that have stories, that have done this, unexpected journeys, unexpected stories behind what you thought was the reality of the people we're interviewing. We got some cool stuff coming up. You're not going to want to miss that. And we're going to start giving you a little bit of a taste in the next couple of weeks. We're going to actually give you a trailer of the first few episodes. We're not going to give you the full thing. You're not going to get the full meal, but you're going to get a little snack here and there of the guests that we have and the stories they have to tell. These are stories that will inspire you. How do I know that? Well, I know I've been super inspired by the conversations we've already had with the interviews we recorded for season 4. But beyond that, I've shared a couple of teasers out with some of my friends, and they're saying that they are some of the best episodes we've done. So you're not going to want to miss season 4. And ultimately, you're not going to want to miss some of the amazing things that we have in store for you to help you on that journey of chasing big ideas and dreams, because we believe you're created for it. We believe you have something awesome to offer this world. So head on over to jumblethink.com, sign up for that newsletter, and let's continue the conversation. Let's get ready for season 4, and let's get ready for 2020 to be our best year ever. Not just mine, but yours also. Make it the best experience you've ever had for making your life fulfilled for the full potential of what you have to offer this world. It has been a fun episode. I hope you've enjoyed it too. Our guest today was Charles Mulbauer. We want to thank him for being on. Go check him out at salesshare.net. We also want to thank our friends over at Podcast Row, hosted by Stand Up New York. They have some great events coming up, and if you want to get your message out, or if you just want to connect with other podcasters, you should check out what they're doing, podcast-row.com. We also want to thank you for tuning into today's show. It means the world to us that you would listen, and I hope it's encouraged you on the journey of chasing your big ideas and dreams. Now, you know, we believe you were created for something awesome. It's your turn. Get out there, make a step, a big step small step, doesn't really matter. Just take a step and start moving forward in that journey of turning your dreams and ideas into reality. We believe you were created for awesome things, so get out there, dream big, and change the world around you.
Vous êtes une autre personne. Les mères de famille, les enfants peuvent également prendre un moment revitalisant dans quelques mois lorsque vous aurez bien saisi la technique et que vous serez maître de votre corps. Vous pourrez vous décontracter même en travaillant.